to Brutal Brunch.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
With your hosts, Matt Moore and Matt Mastromano.
Hey, gruesome doozum!
Gruesome doozum!
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
All those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
And brutal takes on music, movies, food, sports, and more.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
WMFO Medford.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Good morning, Matt. How are you? Welcome back
to
the studio.
It's good to be back.
Back from the great state of Maine.
It was great. I bought a lot of clothes. I went to the outlets and bought some shirts.
Nice.
It was
nice.
Brutal.
that is quite brutal. Brutal way to spend a Sunday morning.
Bought some work shirts.
So, yeah, we're kicking things off with Unearth this morning. That was Off Darkness and the Light. That was Watch It Burn. If you want to call in here this morning, numbers are 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. Also on Twitter, Brutal Brunch, Boxman 37, Snood Dude 7.
Snood Dude.
Hit us up if you have any requests. We got some new music this week, a few songs from Diana, High Karate, Marithius, their full album dropped. And some more stuff to get to. A lot of bands that you can see during the week, which of course we'll tell you about during our concert calendar. But yeah, in the meantime, what else has been going on in your world this week?
Man, I went to NXT in the Aganis Arena on Thursday, which was fun. Not a huge like NXT fan, you know? Like it's fine and I like it, but I don't like that it's become now just like the ending place for your like Ring of Honor and TNA stars.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I went there with two guys who are like super into everything and like know everything and know why Roddy, it's fun to see Roddy Strong in a WWE thing, like it's important to them. But the other guy who was there, like he's gone to other like these like independent shows with us and he likes the spectacle of it. Like I think the last one they went to was in like Watertown and it was like all these like old timers, like Razor Ramon was there and stuff, and he's like, why do people like this? Do they like it just because of the technical proficiency? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, kind of. And nothing got over on him because he didn't know like Biff Busick,
right,
or like why the fans were excited to see Roddy Strong or Cedric Alexander. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, yeah, like that's kind of what it's the niche of the niche. Until Elias Sampson, the Drifter, came out, who's an absolute heat genius. Because he came out, crowd just boos him immediately because he stinks and he has a scarf and he's just the worst. And then he's like, hey, do you guys want to hear a song? And the crowd is just yelling Freebird. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. And they start cheering. Like, that's weird. It's fun. And then he just didn't know any of the words, so they just booed him even more. And then Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger, loved him because it's fun to yell 10. Mm-hmm. But so it's an interesting setup for how did the WWE develop. Like, you can't rely on me. You have to get people like Paul who are like, well, it's fun. I like to go to this thing. He paid money to go to the thing, but he's not going to be there for right. these guys that he doesn't know who just look like generic dudes with tattoos.
There's two things. One is it's weird because I feel like when they had that first, when NXT first got big and they started calling people to the main roster, they totally just relied on NXT fans. Like you had these people like, you know, Emma and
like,
Adam Rose
like
that were like, they were white hot in NXT.
Yeah.
They just throw them in the WWE and they completely tank because nobody knows who they are. They don't know why they should care about them. But the other thing is too, I mean, at some point,
it's good that they're touring now, because when they were just in Florida, you'd
that
be like,
crowd
who,
was like,
who is
that
this person?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they were just crazy about
that crowd was own the world
themselves.
Yep.
I think.
But the other thing is too, like if you are kind of like an old timey fan and you love that nostalgia, like at some point you got to look at some of the new stuff coming up.
You got to look at the new stuff. It's, you know,
because those
that's
people, like Razor Ramon, I mean, before he was, you know, today's
Queen.
Scott Hall. I mean, he was doing crazy ladder matches in with Michaels, but before that too, like they came from somewhere. They didn't just like just famous forever.
That's exactly. So yeah, if you don't watch any of you guys, you're not gonna. There'll be no when your kids are watching. They'll be like, oh, Roddy Strong. I used to watch him on with my dad.
Right.
So yeah, I went to NXT. It was fine. The Aganis Arena is really nice. I've never been over there.
It's kind of funny. I've been to BU to see wrestling, but
yep.
It was Ring of Honor. It was always in Case Gym, which is
smaller.
The smaller where the basketball team played. And the Ring of Honor did not fill Aganis at that point.
I was starving because I came in from Salem and I was late. I was like 7:15, so I ran in. I'm like, oh, I gotta get something to eat. So I got a $3 Slim Jim.
Sounds as good as a Snack Shack in Chikara.
Oh no, not at all.
Middle school.
I want like people making homemade meatball sandwiches for me.
I've not seen wrestling, but I actually forgot to mention. So last week before the show, I saw Ali Wong. Are you familiar with Ali Wong, the comedian?
No.
She's actually quite hilarious. She got famous because, or popular because of a Netflix special she did called Baby Cobra.
Ooh.
While she was pregnant. And so now a lot of her comedy is like kind of looking back on that and like going through the stages of pregnancy and motherhood. But it's like,
I'm assuming knowing you, she's not like a mommy blogger. She's not like,
she is not. No, she's very,
when kids like make a face.
No, it's kind of like, she has jokes about like, this is how my body is falling apart and stuff like that.
Okay, that's
hilarious.
Awesome. Body horror.
Exactly. That's how I related.
Everything came out.
But she did two shows. I believe we both sold out at the Wilbur that weekend.
Sounds nice. So. This is a good theater. I like going to Wilbur.
Wilbur's great. Until they have like, there's some like Barstool related event this past weekend or this week and seemed miserable.
I don't want to say no because I do like PFT Commenter, but I don't like the rest of those guys. Or whatever, but they're fine. Yeah, like what you like. Fine.
We accept.
I don't like.
We respect all art forms.
You don't have to listen to my opinion.
All right, so one of the big draws of leaving the show this morning. So, do you want to tell the story now? We had a pre-show email where we kind of plot out the points.
You hear this?
That's how you know we're professional. Matt's getting ready over here.
Warming up.
He's just warming up. But like, here, all those shows like Felger, Maz, and Touch Wrench, they talk about their pre-show emails. We have pre-show emails too.
We have pre-show emails too.
And so Matt's like, all right, here's for the recap section for this first section. Here's a line, and the line was, "I was scared and walked around the house with a hatchet the other night," and I was like, "Well,
all right,
take it away.
Let me take you in." I live in an apartment, and it's just me and my girlfriend.
In the mean streets of Melrose.
In the mean streets of Melrose. So you have to imagine the rampant crime. So I'd done laundry. We have laundry in the basement. The basement is just locked with a like a deadbolt. Like one of those little chintzy deadbolts. Not a really nice one. Go to bed. I wake up at like 4:30 in the morning because my new thing is I'm 60 years old and have to pee early in the morning. Go to bed. Walk into the kitchen area, which is where the entrance to the basement is, and guess what? It's open. Why is it? The door is open. And I'm like, someone got in. Someone went in through the bulkhead, is in the basement. They're in the house. So I like slowly go back into my room, and what I have in my sock drawer is a hatchet that my friend...
I prepared the location, so when someone does break in.
Now you know. I have a hatchet in my sock drawer. Don't come at me. it's like something my friend had left... a roommate from a couple years ago, my buddy Matt, another Matt, that I've just had because I keep forgetting to give it to him. So I have it now as my like bludgeoning tool. It's not sharp. So I'm walking around the house slowly with the hatchet, turn the lights on, walk down the basement. Nothing's in there. And then as I'm in the basement, I'm like, he's in my closet. And I ran upstairs. I like push the door open quietly. So if he's in there, he's not going to hear me coming in because he's gone at this point. And in the back of my mind, I know no one is there. Turn the light on. No one's there. I'm like, all right, that's good. And I'm like, what other rooms? Oh, no, the living room. I go to the living room. Walk around the living room. Okay, it's fine. Lock the basement door back. And then for safekeeping, I'm like, you could be hiding in some dark corner of the basement. Take a kitchen chair and like prop it up against the door. And so... my girlfriend woke up and she like
say,
walked
out. Did she sleep through this whole thing?
No, totally asleep. Totally safe. Very asleep. And I don't think she noticed that I propped the chair up against the door to brace it against, you know, Jason or whatever. And so I had to explain it to her later. I'm like, yeah, so I woke up and I ran around the house and I braced the door and it got real crazy, Maggie. It got crazy. But it worked out. There was no one in my house.
That is good.
Yeah.
As good as you might expect. So that, but I mean, that's what happened. You know, now you live in the Melrose, like,
it's rough
apartment
there.
Ownership life and all that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's scary.
It's rough. There's actually a movie, actually, I probably shouldn't tell you about this movie, that came out this year.
Like these home invasion movies.
It's called The Break-In.
Yeah.
Well, it's ironic because they twist it around on you.
Ooh.
They set it up as a potential home invasion movie, but it becomes a movie about sleepwalking.
Oh.
And some dark things that can happen during sleepwalking.
Yeah, bad stuff.
So be careful with that hatchet.
I've done that so many times. I used to do that at my place in Cambridge too, and just be like, "Hey, everybody, did you guys hear that door? You hear that noise?" I did it when I was like living at home as a kid. I'm just crazy.
That was my nephew did that one time where I came. He knew I was out, and I came home like late one night. It's like, you know, midnight, and he comes down the stairs with like a pocket knife and his like 911 on his phone ready to go, like in his pajamas, like looking around the corner being like,
another reason why I should never own a pistol, because like with this thing I'm not gonna really do anything. But
oh man,
there you go.
I'm glad that everything worked out.
Yeah, and we're safe.
Melrose is still safe. keeping it safe, one house, one
safe.
Home at a time.
I woke up this morning and I think the guys upstairs left the front door open. So just to point out, I think we're okay. We're fine.
Good, good, good. All right, so on that note, let's get back into the music.
Yeah.
We got a new song from the band Diana. Diana. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that because I don't know how to pronounce any metal bands.
No. Wait till we get to Black Metal Song of the Week.
I am,
wait till we get to some names in the metal history.
It's going to be good. But this is new stuff from these guys called Nocturnus. Just dropped a couple days ago. And yeah, check it out. It's a nice long one, so strap yourselves in. Don't go anywhere for the next 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And we got some more new music. We'll be back in a little while with Week in Metal History and our concert calendar. So again, numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Hit us up. Let us know you're listening. And here's Diana with Nocturnus. Enjoy.
psycho, shoot a roulette rifle, walk along the tightrope if I must. Ship of fools, fossil fuels, burning paper, golden rules. Recognize, pills taste like wine. Must work well, I'm feeling fine. I prescribe them all the time. Overtime, sowing the seeds of misery. Swim upstream, finally. Breaking a fight like childhood. With our brain inside that cord. Swallow me whole, breaking the bone. Burn it down from the inside. Without a pardon, that's what I am told. But you already died. When there is regret, remember every word you said. You're playing the game like you already came. Come on and lead if you're living the dream. Living the life is like riding the bike. Say goodbye to you if I could. Say goodbye to Hollywood. Last goodbye to quality. Say goodbye to what I be. I'll prescribe them all the time.
Thing you can never have sex without.
It's not something you buy.
Or something you take.
In fact, there's only one way to get it.
It has to be given to you, freely.
It's consent.
Because sex without it isn't sex.
It's rape. Consent.
If you don't get it, you don't get it. It's on us to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. That was Zip Die Handcuffs with Hole in the Ground off of Headspace, which is their album that came out this year. You can see them at Great Scott on Tuesday. And we'll be getting to the full concert calendar for you momentarily. But before Zip Die Handcuffs was High Karate, featuring members of Nullset, Gangsta Bitch Barbie, among others. That was Swallow Me Whole, their latest track.
Great video.
It was. Definitely check it out. Nice splice of various old school movies.
Yeah.
And then Marithius, their album Welcome to Marithius dropped recently.
Yeah.
And that was the title track off of it. And then we kicked that set off with Diana and Nocturnus. The latest from those guys. And now let's see if we can do this. It is time for...
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Here we go. This is your metal history for the 14th through the 20th of November. November 14th, 89. Ministry, you know, your favorite industrial band. I think they kind of found their step, the album before, which I don't even know if I can say on the air, quite frankly. With November 14th, 1989's The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste. A lot of multimedia in this, putting clips from shows, clips from movies. This is Ministry's Burning Inside, which features the great synth of John Carpenter and the alarm noise from The Thing. Let's see if this works. Coming through? Nope.
Doesn't sound like... Oh, wait.
Oh, no!
I'm on... Can you fast forward?
Oh, no, I can't.
There's something coming.
Oh, yeah. No, but this is the alarm noise.
Is that what you wanted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, The Thing. And I'll jump.
There we go.
I mean, then the song is, as you would expect. November 14th, 95, Swedish melodic death metal band At the Gates releases Slaughter of the Soul. I know this is a popular topic of yours, Matt, is that a lot of people think the 90s was essentially just, especially like children, think the 90s was essentially just all grunge and gangster rap until like Britney Spears and boy bands showed up.
Right.
And that's really not the case. I think there was like a wider swath of thing going on. Like this, the Gothenburg scene.
That whole, yeah, melodic death metal. That
melodic
was kicked
death
off
metal.
With, at the Gates and...
In Flames.
In Flames.
Yeah.
And,
There's one more that I'm forgetting.
Yeah. I was actually just listening to them, but it's where the dude from... The singer from In Flames, his original band that I'm blanking on right now. But yes.
Yeah, because the same year, this year, 95, I think Jester Dance came out as well. Another landmark album in melodic death metal. So it wasn't all grunge and flannel. There was, you know, there was this. So this is At the Gates, Slaughter of the Soul, and this is the title track, Slaughter of the Soul. Enjoy it.
Ooh.
It's just good. It's very crunchy and... And of course, it maintains a. It's not thrash, you know. It's like you're. We're gonna give you a melody. We're gonna give you a tempo. We're gonna go up and down. It's interesting listening to that album to do this segment. How much they kind of sound like Killswitch. Like how much, I mean, it's their melodic death metal as well. But
right.
Like how much, you can see the influence in a lot of like even like the way that they like. Organize the drums, the way that they organize like the orchestration of the music, so to speak.
Yeah, the arrangement.
The arrangement, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much.
So Dark Tranquillity was the other band I was thinking of as part of that movement. But I mean, it's kind of funny because if you kind of look at the metal was obviously developing its own thing that was kind of out of the public eye for the most part, other than like the controversy of Metallica or whatever. But it almost kind of paralleled because you had the rise of Metallica, right? Almost kind of around as the time this grunge was getting big.
Yeah.
Like you had eventually leading up to the Black Album.
Because it was like, oh, hair metal is dead.
Era.
All this stuff
right.
now.
And so they, you had that. Then you had kind of this mid-90s with like the melodic death metal and that sort of stuff kind of. You know, you had your post-grunge going on,
yep.
where it's like all these, you had kind of the main genres, and then people started to spin off and branch off that. And then by the late 90s, you had that Massachusetts metalcore scene coming out at the same time as, like, the pop-punk movement was coming out.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of stuff. A lot of changes, a lot of differences. I wanted to throw this in there. November 15th, 92, Ozzy played the last concert of his retirement tour. Much like Terry Funk, I think Ozzy Osbourne has retired about 30 times. He has not stood in the middle of the sumo arena saying forever, which is the greatest fake retirement. Or like he thought he would retire but then didn't because Terry Funk's a madman. November 16th, 98, Metallica releases their cover of Seeger's Turn the Page. Ooh, I skipped one.
More Ozzy, right? You miss some Ozzy.
I miss some Ozzy. I'm sorry. November 15th, 83, Ozzy releases Bark at the Moon. I love the song. It's dumb. It's about being a werewolf. Or a Hyde. A Mr. Hyde.
This was another Guitar Hero or Rock Band song, right?
Another song that I like discovered through Guitar Hero, like apologies to people in their 40s. But like I obviously was aware of like Ozzy and Sabbath and like had heard some stuff on the radio, but like this wasn't a song that got a lot of radio play pre like 06 or whatever, like 05 when Guitar Hero came out. And then when it did, I was like, yeah, this is great. They should play more of this. It's crazy. Such a good theatrical 80s Ozzy shredding. Zakk Wylde going absolutely hog wild in the end of the song. If we can get to it. All right, ready? You're about to hear about 4,000 notes as the unshowered Zakk Wylde. This is like the last song, I think, in Guitar Hero 2. It's like, if you got this, like, you won. You won guitars. As you should, honestly. Listen to this. Stupid.
Well, it would have been the curse of Into the Fire and Flames, right? Or
well, that was before. Oh, okay. I think this was, and then it was like, yeah, Fire and the Flames also. Anyway, Bark at the Moon. It's fantastic. A little late. It should have came out around Halloween. Big mistake. All right, I'm sorry. November 16th, 98, Metallica releases their cover of Bob Seger's Turn the Page. It's the exact same song. Their twist on it was where Seger was talking about just being on the road as a musician. And it's only in the video. They like sandwiched essentially like an exotic dancer. Like her thing is like, ooh, she's got to go out there on the road for a kid or whatever. Like, so it's whatever. What's interesting is I an idiot, and in 98 I didn't even know who Bob Seger was. I'm like, this song is awesome. And maybe through like the early part of college I thought Metallica actually wrote this song. I also thought they wrote Die 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 My Darling, because I thought, I was like, that's a good song too. And then eventually I figured out like these are covers. I'm an idiot. The internet wasn't, it was available and it was good, but I was just just dumb and lazy, I guess.
It predated Napster, too.
It did predate Napster. And the other thing, too...
You had to rely on, like, tripod pages.
Or, like, your dad.
Yeah.
Because my dad didn't know it. He's like, what? Is it disco? I don't know what this song is. And then the funny part about this is I do this song often at karaoke. I do Turn the Page often. And it's like, when you ask for it, it's the Seeger version. But I'm doing Hetfield's vocals. Anyway, here's Turn the Page. I mean, you've heard it. What's interesting is the beginning part. An exhibitionist.
I've always... So you don't hear this on the radio or on the downloadables?
I would say yes. I always wanted to be in the entertainment business without really realizing it.
Think about it.
And I am now.
She is. And then it just starts. 98, Turn the Page.
Is that off Garage Inc.?
Yes. I was going to say, kind of like their transitional years. On a lonely, lonesome highway, east of Omaha. Okay. November 16th, 99, Korn releases their fourth studio album, Issues. I don't really like Korn that much. What's your take on Korn?
Well, this album, they were, one of my gateway bands.
Yeah.
Like, when I had my pop culture black hole of middle school, where the only thing I cared about was Star Wars, and then I went to high school and people were like listening to stuff. I was like, ooh, Blink-182, Limp Bizkit, and Korn, like these are things. And
that's true.
Kind of blew my mind. And Issues, they were just in between Follow the Leader and Issues. So Issues was like one of the first albums I went out and bought immediately and thought it was incredible. And then after you get a few years old, you realize it's one of the most kind of generic sounding and filler.
A lot of filler.
Loaded filler albums. Like,
it's very groove heavy.
Like, you want
though?
Verse, chorus, verse. This is a verse, chorus, verse album.
Yeah.
Make Me Bad, though, will always be an all-time personal jam for me.
Well, sorry, I didn't pick that as a song. I did pick
Falling Away From Me. That was their big single.
And that's obviously the big single.
It was on South Park, too, when they showed up and did the Scooby-Doo Mysteries.
An amazing episode of South Park, by the way, when there's an actual piece of corn that's friends with them. There's something about the clackety clack of the bass.
The hammer bass, yeah.
Fieldy. I like Fieldy and Fieldy's Dreams, his rap album. Go check it out. But yeah, just not a huge fan. I mean, I appreciate what they did, obviously. And I'm happy you like them and got out of Star Wars because, like, oh boy.
I will also say real quick that, so they have a new album this year. And when a few years ago, they came out with Korn 3. I forgot what the subtitle was. And everyone was like, oh, this is like old school Korn. The sounds like, and it didn't. Like, don't kid yourselves. Like,
well,
people wanted it to. And, well, but they claim they're like, oh, because this is what they're getting back to. Like, it's not, it sounded nothing really like their original stuff. And then they had, like, their EDM travesty. But yeah. Then the album that came out this year is old school Korn.
Okay.
If you listen to it, especially Rotting in Vain is like, could have been plucked off of Issues or Life is Peachy or Follow the Leader.
Well, here's Falling Away From Me by off of Issues. I think what's fun about this song is this is the early internet, as we were discussing before, when I didn't know who Bob Seger was. They released this as an MP3. You could donate 25 cents or something, and it went to Child Help USA. These are battered children charities. It's kind of nice. They raised about $250,000. Yay! This is the intro from the video, so.
Because it was like left over from the Bullet video.
Freaking Unleash.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. More anime.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably. You know what Korn probably was to me? I guess that video and then the heavy metal movie were like the gateway to cartoons for me.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's. It sounds like how you think it would.
I remember there were musical hipsters back when I was in high school, and a kid, we're talking about Korn, and a kid's like, oh yes, breaking me down, great lyrics. And it was like hating on Korn. It's like, hey man, why do you gotta be like that right now?
Hey man.
We're all freshmen in high school right now.
Listen to the new Metallica album. Actually, listen to this next album, November 17th, 86, Darkness Descends. Second studio album by American thrash metal band Dark Angel.
Ooh, I have not this year too. No, heard? I'm sorry.
No, you're thinking of
Death Angel.
I thought you were thinking of Creator. Creator is back. Important album that era of thrash. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't have that much to say about it. But I do love this album, and this is Perish in Flames, and it sounds exactly the way you think. Your face is gonna fall off.
If you're listening right now, we're not responsible for your whiplash tomorrow.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it's as fast as it goes for thrash. I guess you could go faster, but your fingers would fall off. November 17th, 95. So I sent a long email to Matt about this. This is Dissection releases Storm of the Lights Bane, Norwegian death metal band, black metal band, Dissection. Their third album? Second album? It's a fantastic album. That's just like fact. If you just listen to it and you're into the black metal genre, you don't have to be like worshiping the actual devil. You could just say, here's what I enjoy: raspy vocals, blast beats, like big themes, nature. It's fantastic, and it's very clean. Like the way that
it's not like that lo-fi kind
of. It's not the lo-fi that you get out of a lot of the early, I guess, first, you know, like your first wave death metal. Black metal, jeez Louise. The problem is is that the lead singer and creator of the band, I'm just gonna let it play in the background, I'm just gonna let the album play as I go through this. John Nordfit. I'm gonna pronounce it wrong. John Nordfit is an actual murderous sociopath. And that's the problem, is like you get into stuff like this, and for whatever reason, I don't know if it's that the music has to be made by people who are kind of slightly off, or it kind of makes you slightly off, and then it's the echoist of echo chamber, right?
Become consumed by it.
But if you're in Norway and it's 95 and you're doing this genre of music, there's like 9 other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just hearing the same stuff over and over again. And Nordfit was a member of the MLO, which is the Misanthropic Luciferian Order, which is described as a satanic cult. I think it's probably easier to say that they were a gang. They were just like a violent gang, and kind of like a hate group. He is convicted along with a fellow MLO member Vlad of murder. They just murdered a guy in Fellers Park in Norway. It's a huge sensation case at the time because, you know, they claimed they had done it for Satan. And I think that the way the court case came out is they did it because the person was gay. And I think it was a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
Murder nonetheless, regardless of motivation. He did the longest possible sentence in Norway, which, as you know, from is 10 years. He got out in 2006, killed himself surrounded by candles, and he had the verse or the book of the MLO in front of him. So,
yeah, because we can talk about this later in the show, but it's like, yeah, we want just that, man. Whole, obviously, that whole genre itself. But then there's like, well, because we're comparing it to others, it's like if you look at somebody, obviously, there's a big difference between murder and like doing drugs, but like in terms of the mental state of some artists, like a lot of people point to Scott Weiland and be like, you know, when he got off the drugs, his music sucked, but like when he was flying high or whatever, Stone Temple Pilots were like releasing some of the greatest things of all time. So it's like, I don't know. And you see that with, like, with comedians too, like somebody like Mitch Hedberg or whatever. These guys are like brilliant, but they're like totally
fully addicted to heroin.
Addicts, or they're tormented by something. And yes, it's an
something
interesting thing
was
to explore.
Broken inside of this kid, and a disaster for everyone around him. It's still a good album, but just an awful person. Let's cleanse the palate. And by cleanse the palate, I'm going to say more death metal, more black metal. This is Demons the Five from Dark Funeral, their release from, I think, also, no. Gotta get out of here. November 18th, 2010, Dark Funeral releases Euxtro Pro Eternus, another black metal band. I apologize. Different type of Satanism. They're Anton LaVey in Satanism, okay, which is essentially humanism. They just use the image of Satan to say, like, hey, be nice to everybody, be reasonable. Like, but they're very anti-religion also, so they're kind of like your teen cousin on Facebook who's like, I don't believe in God. Anyway, still good. Demons of Five. This is Dark Funeral. It's good. Alright. I want to cleanse the palate a little bit as we get to the end of this thing. This is a long one. I apologize. November 18th, 2009, symphonic metal band Nightwish releases Luxura. It's essentially a compilation of their greatest hits. You know, good arrangement. Orchestral, big, you know, all sorts of different instruments, violins. The lead singer is a gentleman, and there's a lady who comes in and does kind of like a soprano. We'll try to get to her. It's good. Wrapping it up. November 18th, 88, Man of War, which is the Guinness certified, I believe, loudest band from like 87, releases Kings of Metal. Again, sounds the way you think it would, like that heavy metal from the 80s. Man of War. You know them, Balls to the Wall. This is Kings of Metal.
Every one of us has heard the call.
I mean, I love it, honestly.
Brothers of True Metal.
While this is playing, I also want to say that on November 19th, 98, Motley Crue opened their store, Screw, with the, you know, S'CRUE. Which is a clothing store which was open for 2 months in Hollywood.
I was gonna say, I didn't hear about this. Oh, that's why.
It was open for 2 months, and it closed. The good news is they're still doing well. Vince Neil will be performing at Trump's inauguration. And yesterday, or I guess Friday, Metallica released their new album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, which is...
What's your review
okay,
on that?
I liked Death Magnetic better, I guess is what I would say, from this, like... Late era Metallica. I like Death Magnetic better. I like the ballady songs on Death Magnetic better than the ballady songs on this. And like when they try to get heavy on this new album, I just don't like it. It doesn't sound good. I don't like the arrangement, as we were discussing before. James just sounds tired. I don't know why they're doing it, I guess. I guess they want to. I mean, there's no other reason for them to do it unless they want to. It's not like they're, like, struggling for cash.
Right.
That's your metal history. Thank you for indulging me as I struggle to pronounce Norwegian names.
Excellent. It's definitely much better than me trying to cover for you last week. All right, real quick, the concert calendar for the upcoming week. Tonight at the Palladium, you can see Crown the Empire with Bless the Fall, New Year's Day, Light Up the Sky, and Too Close to Touch. House of Blues has In Flames and Hell Yeah, the Forged in Fire Tour 2016, with From Ashes to New and Source. Tuesday, November 22nd at the Sinclair, it's Abath, or Abath, with Obsidian Tongues, Angus, and Infero Bruo.
We're going.
We have great tales about Abath. House of Blues, The Wonder Years, and Real Friends with Knuckle Puck, Moose Blood, and Seaway. Sorry, that was Moose Blood and Seaway. Great Scott has Dirty Fences, The Zip Tie Handcuffs, which you just heard, The Pragmatics, and Burns Bone Death. O'Brien's Pub has Street Eaters, Phantom Rise, Long Gone, and Second Becky. Wednesday, the 23rd, at Great Scott, you can see Ulcerate, Zhrine, and Phobocosm. Friday, at DCU Center, it's Matt's favorite band, Five Finger Death Punch, along with Shinedown, 6 a.m. and As Lions.
What?
O'Brien's Pub has The Hideout, The Digs, The Hose, and The 88 Rangers.
You're right.
Sammy's Patio, Barishi, Conflagration. Geniverse, Omnia, and Don't Drink the Water. Saturday, November 26th, at the Middle East, you can see Ice Nine Kills with Sirens and Sailors. It lives, it breathes, and Assuming We Survive. And that is your concert calendar. You are listening to Brutal Brunch on WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Numbers, if you'd like to call in, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Hit us up. In the meantime, we're going to play another song, or another band that you can see with the Zip Tie Handcuffs on the 22nd at Great Scott. This is The Pragmatics and their song, Loudmouth. And you're hearing it now on Brutal Brunch.